Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's edition of The Bible Says. I hope, ladies, if you have access to the Scripture, you will avail yourselves of it, for I want us to look today at verse 18, and not only Colossians 3:18, but there are some other passages that we'll need to deal with as well, because I would like to deal with a matter of what the Bible says about the matter of a wife being in subjection to her own husband. Now, certainly I can't think of many things that tend to set the fuses a-burning and cut the fuses shorter than to talk about submission. However, I think the attitude that a lot of women have about the doctrine of submission, or what the Bible says about submission, is based on their ignorance of what the Bible says in its context. They're ignorant of what the Bible says and what God has given them. Not taken away from them, but what He has given them. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You will notice, please, that submission is set here in context, not with the times, but it is set in the context of the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are several verses, 18, 19, 20. These verses, I would like for us to go back, please, to the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, we're going to be looking at chapter 5. Take a moment to turn there with me, if you will. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse, actually we could start with verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice, please, how these verses are going to run parallel to the passages in Colossians. You'll notice here, to the Lord, in your heart, to the Lord. All right, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves unto one another, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. These three things, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks, submission, these three things are the characteristics of one who is filled with the Spirit. You will notice, please, there is nothing said here about any ecstatic utterances, no tongues. There are no visions, but rather, here are three characteristics, verse 19, verse 20, and verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, that spell out the real character and characteristics of one who is filled by the Spirit. Go back to verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. You'll notice, please, as an individual is filled with the Spirit, the speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, giving of thanks, submission is all implied. It's all connected. Now, because submission is such a big deal, and because God knew that women were going to have what appears to be an unreasonable, an unreasonable burden, He takes special pains to talk about this matter of submission, especially as it deals with a wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now this is verse 22 of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I find, generally speaking, that if a woman is not submitted to her husband, neither does she understand submission to God. Because the two are intertwined, and there's a reason for it. The husband, verse 23, is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. As you read chapter 5, beginning with verse 22, down through the end of the chapter, you will find that the relationship between a man and his wife is to represent the relationship between Christ and His church. Now, there are those who say, well, I don't see why the wife can't represent Christ. Very simply, do what the Bible says. Go with what God says. Doesn't make any difference how you look at it. What's the Bible say? Now, wives are to be in submission to their husbands like Christ is supposed to be, like the church is supposed to be in submission to Christ. In my relationship with my wife, I am supposed to be like Christ. She is supposed to be like the church is supposed to be. I say it that way because, quite frankly, the church today is not what it's supposed to be. They do not hold to the head, Jesus Christ. But, be that as it may, the illustration still stands. It still holds. Notice, please, that while my wife is supposed to be in submission to me, I am supposed to treat her like Christ would treat her. Watch, please. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A woman has less likelihood of staggering and drawing back from the idea of submission if she has the proper kind of husband. That's why it's so important, mothers, that you train your daughters what kind of man she ought to be looking for as she grows up. And you ladies who are listening who are single, don't you just, say yes and throw up, kick up your heels and run down the aisle to, in front of the preacher man and marry the first fellow that comes along. Don't do it. You want a man who's going to treat you like Christ treats the church. And if you can't get a man like that, you're better off single. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. If I'm going to be like Christ to my wife, I must be willing to die for her. Now, it's an easy thing for a man to say, oh, honey, I love you, I'd die for you. Isn't it strange how that same love takes a strange turn so that while the man might be willing to die for you, he just can't quite figure out how the vacuum cleaner works. He's just too tired to help dry the dishes and talks cheap, isn't it? Uh-huh, yeah. Well, it doesn't seem fair to me. You'll see as this thing unfolds where fairness is. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. If I or any other husband are going to fulfill the obligations that the Scripture lays on the husband, we must teach, we must, by example and teaching by our word, we must encourage, by what we say and what we do, encourage our wives to grow in the things of God. Now, I find too many men who preach at them. They don't draw them to Christ. There's nothing Christ-like in the way they treat the wife. Makes it doubly hard on that sister to be submissive. But notice, please, it doesn't really depend on whether or not the man is what he's supposed to be. The command stands. I've had men say, well, I can't be like Christ if she's not going to be like the church. Hogwash. You mean to tell me that because the church is not doing right today, that Christ has turned his back on the church? Don't think so. The command and the responsibility to obey the command is given whether or not the partner is what he or she is supposed to be. Do it. Do it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. It's an interesting thing. Back in verse 25 when it says, husbands, love your wives. Gentlemen, if you're listening this morning, do you realize it says that to the men? It never says it to the women. It never says, wives, love your husbands. It doesn't say it. People say, well, why is that? Simple. Because it's impossible for a woman who knows Christ, it's impossible for a woman to not love her husband if she is treated like Christ treats the church. I don't have to urge my wife to love me. If I treat her right, it is a natural response. If she does not love me, if she doesn't show her love for me, then there's something wrong with me. Go on. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, A man's first obligation after his obligation to God is to his wife. Not the job, not the boss, not the kids, not the neighbors, not the church. No. His first obligation is for himself before God. Secondly, for his wife's walk with God. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but notice what he says. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see the relationship. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, if we go back to what Paul said to the Colossians here in verse 18 of chapter 3, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. With the understanding that the wife is supposed to represent the church as the church is supposed to be in submission to Christ, then obviously it is fit in the Lord. Now, I don't know that I have time to effectively deal with this next passage, but we'll start it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and ladies, this is well worth your taking notes on, or at least write down the reference so you can look it up yourself. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. There it is again. I'm so tired of hearing it. Wait a minute. Sister, will you look at the passage? Finish it out. Because God gives here a Christian woman a lever that will move a man closer to God. Notice what it says. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. Now, this can apply either to an unsaved husband. Here's a lady that's gotten saved after she's married. She's married to a guy that doesn't know the Lord. What are you supposed to do? Nag him about going to church? No, better not. Better not. I've seen that blow up in the face too many times. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, the word conversation is King James English usage. It means manner of life, lifestyle. It's not just what you say. It's not how you talk. It's how you walk and talk. There it is. As they watch the behavior, as they watch your testimony, sister, they watch you while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And he goes on. God has leveled the playing field, and I hope there's no misunderstanding about it, no ambiguity about it. Ladies, one of the benefits for having a scriptural attitude toward submission is the fact that God has given you the means whereby to move your husband closer to God. It may be he's not saved. You need to get him saved. He needs to see the reality of Christ in your life. But let's say he makes a profession of faith. He just pretty shabby in the way he deals with the things of the Word of God. He's not obedient to the Word of God. Maybe he's not the spiritual head of the home like you know he ought to be. Maybe he's not treating you like Christ treats the church. What are you supposed to do? Be in submission to him. Why? That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives as they watch your chaste, your pure, your clean lifestyle coupled with reverence, fear for God. They watch that. And ladies, that's like heaping coals of fire on that man's head, and you don't have to nag him. God will do the work. Trust him. Now, I've got to stop here. We're out of time. I hope you'll join me on the next broadcast because I think we'll come back to this passage. I want you to see what the Bible says.